depends on your questions. We'll stay till we get to the questions, or 2 hours, whichever happens first. But if we don't have enough, we might just knock off at an hour today. So it's up to you. Right now, calls are starting to come in, but questions are still really light. So this is your chance to get in. If you've got a question, a comment, a topic, press one on your phone as soon as possible. Because every week it seems to do this, and then by the end I have calls I can't get to. So jump in quick. We're going to get started. Here we go.
Your money, your taxes, your truck, and your road to success in the trucking industry. This is Trucking Business and Beyond, the show that puts the money where it belongs, back in your pocket.
Welcome to my world. I'm your host, Kevin Rutherford. The website is letstruck.com. The show is all about the business of trucking. And today is Destination Health. My co-host is Kim Cockerham. We'll take your calls and answer your questions about everything health, fitness, diet, nutrition, lifestyle, exercise, disease, training, drugs, supplements, you name it. We'll talk about it. All you have to do is pick up the phone and call. We've been lied to for decades and it's killing us. But the good news is the truth is coming out. And today's topic is a great example of that. Before we get to the topic, I want to bring Kim in. Kim, welcome.
Hi, Cameron. Glad to be here.
Yeah, well, it's that time of year again.
Yeah, and you know what? I know when you say on this, and it was so interesting, and I sent you that article, because I always like knew you got me thinking separately about it, but I hadn't backed up and done a lot of reading and stuff on it. I know you have, so I've always leaned on you for that, and so I'm grateful you're bringing this topic to us again.
Yeah, you know, it's not a simple topic. What we're talking about is the flu vaccine, whether or not you should get a flu shot, and the interesting thing is, when I say it's that time of year again, it's not like I have to mark this on my calendar, because I will be reminded about 1,000 times in the media and everywhere I look that I should be getting a flu shot. You know, it used to be that they recommended them for very high risk populations only. Like if you had a very weakened immune system and the flu could potentially kill you, then the risk may or may not have been worth it. I mean, dying is not a good thing. So that was the group. But just in the last couple of years, they started recommending to everybody over 6 months. That's insanity. That is just crazy. That is nothing but a big money grab. So we could look at it just from the point of view of all the money that gets made, $1.6 billion. In the United States alone, $4 billion worldwide is what the pharmaceutical companies make on the flu vaccine alone. So you can't tell me that this isn't heavily influenced by profit, which I'm okay with. I'm a capitalist. But you also have to be an informed consumer. Just because somebody puts out a product and makes a bunch of money off of it doesn't mean you should be buying it. I don't think that they should be banned from doing it. I think if they want to market this product, they should. And they do. And they spend a lot of money marketing it. That's why we have these attitudes that we have today. There are people so entrenched that if you even mention you shouldn't get a flu shot, they go off the deep end. They call you crazy and, you know, say you're wearing a tinfoil hat and talk about conspiracies. And if you want to get a flu shot, get one. But if you don't believe that you have been heavily influenced by marketing, you are completely wrong. You have been influenced your entire life, and especially in the last 10 years, by lots and lots of marketing money pushing these shots because they make so much money on them. People say, well, how do they make money? I get mine free. Yeah, that should give you a clue. Companies don't just give stuff away. They they give things away in order to drive more business or to make more money somewhere else. Somebody is paying for these flu shots. The pharmaceutical companies get their money. So maybe CVS runs a special where they give away a free flu shot. That's because they get a lot of people into the store, and when the people come in the store, they spend a lot of money. So the pharmaceutical company got paid for those shots. CVS used them as a loss leader. I'm okay with all that, but I'm certainly not getting one. That's just the money side of it. If you start talking about the health aspect side of it, then people really mm-hmm. think you're crazy, right? There is a lot of junk in there. There's mm-hmm. aluminum. Do you know they put antibiotics in there?
No, I didn't.
Yeah, the flu shot actually has antibiotics in it. Wow. It also has egg proteins. So if you've ever taken our fit test and found out you were reacting to egg proteins, you're going to react to the flu shot pretty bad.
Yeah, and I was reading about mercury being in there as well.
Mercury is in there. That's where there's been a lot of, I don't want to say speculation, because there's evidence that, you know, the makers try to claim that it's such a tiny amount, it would never matter. It's a different form of mercury. Although there's a lot of studies that have linked it to autism and other problems in kids. And these are all kinds of vaccines, not just necessarily the flu vaccine. Mm-hmm. But it's, you know, just all the junk that's in it. Mm-hmm. That's a bad thing. And the other thing is it's not very effective. So there's like three strikes against it. Where was this? And I think this was from the article you sent me. In randomized controlled trials of healthy adults, because that's really what I'm focusing on here.
Mm-hmm,
leave the high risk groups to the side because I'm not going to address those. But in healthy adults, the numbers, randomized controlled trials, if you vaccinate between 33 and 100 people, you'll get one less case of the flu. That's it. One less case. For one thing, we don't know which flu varieties are coming around this year. So they load up three or four, sometimes two, into the shot, and that's all it's going to protect you against. So you can get the shot and still get a really, really nasty case of the flu because it's a whole different strain. You're only protected against the strains they put in there. And there's some evidence to show you're not necessarily protected from those. For one, it takes almost 2 weeks for your body to build the antibodies. So you could get the shot and within 2 weeks get the flu before your body even had time to build those antibodies. And in a weak enough immune system, it might not protect anything at all. So, you know, I'm not here to tell anybody whether they should or shouldn't. The problem is there's so much money influencing people to do it, and there's no money to influence people not to. Nobody gets paid to tell people not to get the flu shot. So you can't do mass marketing and the way the big pharmaceuticals can. So it's a very, very one-sided argument. And yet you can find doctor after doctor after doctor, highly credentialed, that have come out against the flu shot completely. It's just, unless you're out there looking for it, you're not going to see it on primetime TV, because guess who spends all the advertising money on primetime TV? The big pharmaceutical companies.
Yeah. Yeah. And you know, and we just, and I don't know when it started where it's offered across the board in the schools now. And that's just been, I think, in the last 4 or 5 years, if I remember. But yeah, they make it, at least down here, I can't remember. I think it was the same in Ohio, but yeah, they do an all school immunization thing that we opt out of, but that's just fascinating. It's another one of the things that, you know, like we experienced before, you know, the doctors offer tests, so you just take them and it's the same thing. You know, you think you're doing the best for your kids. They're offering this immunization, it's free, and you just do it. That's where you got to step back and read and really say, is it worth it? And it's not.
You know, so we had three strikes against them. We could add another one, and that is our immune system is designed to fight these things off. And the more we expose our immune system to these types of viruses and bacteria, the stronger it becomes. So we can look around and see how unhealthy adults are today and how unhealthy kids are today. And there's a lot of reasons, but this is one of them. We keep, you know, pushing antibacterial everything. We want to wipe bacteria off the planet. We want to vaccinate against everything. There's a new vaccine, seems like a couple times a year they come out with some new vaccine that never even existed before. We want to vaccinate against everything. We want to wipe out the bacteria. And then we wonder why we have either very weak immune systems or totally overactive immune systems in autoimmune diseases. And very, very few people just have a good, strong, functioning immune system anymore.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, that same article we were talking about had that, there's an ingredient that they have in here that actually does that. It has a strong immune suppressant. I mean, not that one. That's just the opposite of some mercury. What do they call it? It was the one that they found in the Gulf War.
They call it an acid.
But it has... Yeah. And right. That it has autoimmune disease side effects.
Yeah, well, and they also believe that the whole Gulf War syndrome that a lot of soldiers came back with was created from the adjuvant in the, I believe it was the anthrax vaccine they were required to take. We're going to talk about that more and get to your calls and questions right after this. Stick around. I'm Kevin Rutherford. Welcome back. I'm Kevin Rutherford. This is Destination Health. Kim is here with me. We're talking about vaccines, primarily the flu vaccine right now, but also vaccines in general. Kim, you know, I wouldn't argue that there have been some vaccines that really made life a whole lot safer. There are some people that would argue even against those. I haven't done enough research to really form a strong opinion. I'm going back to, you know, things like polio and TB, yeah. Although that's making a comeback. So we could clearly point at some of the early interventions with vaccines and say, no, they really did make life better. They may have had some dangers and some side effects, but overall, they made life safer. But that was a long, long time ago. And since then, they keep adding and adding and adding. And I think that's the problem. That we're just, it's such a big money grab. We're going to vaccinate for everything. We throw all this other junk in there. There's lots of evidence, but boy, if you speak out against this and your voice starts to be heard, look out, because you will be called everything from a nut job to a conspiracy theorist. There's a lot of money to kind of stifle any message they don't want to be seen. And lots of money to spread their message around it. And what brought this up for me again was there's a group in trucking that pushes this every year and offers free shots, and people fall all over it. Oh, what a great thing. They're giving away free shots. And I just want people to stop for a minute. Yes, it's free. So what? Is your health really worth something just because it's free? Do a little research, read both sides. Now you will find tons and tons of so-called scientific articles that say the opposite. And again, look at where they're funded from. Usually either government or big pharmaceutical. And those two are basically the same thing anymore. All the executives from the big pharmaceutical companies go back and forth from, you know, upper management in the big pharmaceuticals to positions in the FDA. So it's like the fox guarding the hen house. So those are all the same to me. But if you look at, you know, the new group of functional medicine doctors, then you'll get a whole different story on vaccination. So I just want people to seek out some other message other than the message that's being bought and paid for by the big pharmaceutical companies that stand to make all the money from this.
Mm-hmm. And just get recommitted every single day to do the best, the most you can to be the healthiest person. You know, life happens, but we know we can do so much to empower ourselves with our own health, and just keep going down that path.
And you know what, Kim, that's the real message here. You know, so I'm certainly spending a lot of time pointing out the problem and warning people, but there's also a solution here. And the solution is just get healthier. Get your immune system strong. I mean, all the things we talk about on the show, eating real food, cutting out the grains, cutting out the sugars, getting rid of processed foods, seeking out better quality, you know, a higher fat diet. All of those things that we talk about all lead to a much stronger immune system and our body working the way it is supposed to. And again, if the flu was such a nasty thing that could literally wipe us off the planet, that would have happened a long, long time ago. And actually, if you look at the statistics now, your chances of dying from the flu have gotten worse, not better. And we could get some form of flu that we can't create a vaccine for, or we can't create it in time, and it could kill a lot of people. If that happens, I'd much rather depend on my own strong immune system than a vaccine that they don't have time to create and distribute.
Yeah. Yeah. A lot we can do for that.
There is. And if you have any questions about that, Kim and I would be happy to help you. Kim, anything you've got today?
No. Hey, did you get to watch that TED Talk by any chance?
I didn't. Actually, I got sent two TED Talks yesterday, and I didn't get to see either one of them. I know there was one on cancer and there was one on something else, but I didn't get to watch either one of them.
I'm gonna send that over to the Destination Health Facebook page too, because it's only 5 minutes long, which I love it. But because I watched it a couple times, because it was so fascinating. We're talking about the immune system, and we all know there's a problem with how cancer drugs are delivered, you know, to people dealing with cancer. You know, it, you know, doesn't get right to the cancer. It goes to other organs. We can actually, you know, urinate them out, so they're not doing any good whatsoever, and they make us more and more sick. And her whole topic, and that's why it's so fascinating, is about using nature's own, our own body, our own immune cells, because we know the immune cells, you know, when we get hurt, when we get cut, when we get sick, our immune cells go right to the problem. They know right where to go. And so, yeah, that's what their talk's about. Like I said, I'll put it out there. And it's just really interesting that they developed like a two-step way, adding a medicine that's called like a glue, and then they use a drug called a trail that can kill cancer cells, but it doesn't kill other cells. So they have that glue attach itself to the immune cells, and then it then take that drug and go right to where the problem is. And it's just like we always knew and felt like, why isn't there more of a cure for cancer, and that it had to be out there or something. And this just makes so much sense. And even in that 5 minutes, the information you're going to get, and the just what they say about the effects they saw, like within 2 hours, the effects on the animals they were testing, the mice that they were testing with the cancer. But then she said it should shift our whole paradigm on how we can use immune cells in general, you know, like spinal cord injury, or, you know, letting it cross the blood-brain barrier to cure like Parkinson's and stuff like that. So, you know, it's one of those things that you think, you know, people deal with cancer now, like, you know, you want them to, you know, you wonder how many years it's going to take for them to get this more into play. But to hear, you know, this, I think that she's a biochemist, talk with excitement about, you know, the possibilities with this was really cool.
Yeah, I need to go watch that. You know, it reminded me of something else. And I read this a long, long time ago. There was a lot of research done on people who were actually exposed to more illnesses when they were a child, like got sick all the time, colds, flus. And I was a sick kid and I was active and always outside, but I ate a horrible diet. And I got everything every year. I got a cold. I got a flu. I had scarlet fever. I had some of the crazy stuff. But when I read this article, it gave me hope because it said the more illnesses and diseases you were exposed to as a child, the less likely you were to get cancer as an adult. And their thought was that our immune system is a very potent cancer killer. And every time you activate it like that, you could have been killing cancerous cells before we even knew they were there. So there was some speculation that, you know, the more your immune system had to work, not only did it get stronger and stronger, as long as you gave it good nutrition, but it was also wiping out problems that we didn't even know existed yet. So, and then the whole cancer thing, the problem was we spent almost 70 years believing that cancer was genetic and trying to work on genetic fixes. And now we know it's not genetic. It's lifestyle. It is a, you know, it's a metabolic disease, not a genetic disease. So we lost, I mean, all that money that went into cancer research, all those years looking for genetic fixes, basically was wasted. And there was an argument 70 years ago. There was a group that said, no, this isn't genetic, it's metabolic. And the group that said it was genetic won out. And that's where all the money went all these years. Now we're finally putting some money towards metabolic remedies. And by metabolic, we mean it happens in the body. It's your metabolism, your lifestyle that creates this. There are some genes that we've identified that could put you at higher risk. Most of those genes are really rare. And even when you have the gene, it's not a guarantee you're going to get that cancer. They kind of say if you have the gene is the loaded gun, but your lifestyle is what will pull the trigger or not.
Yeah.
So you may have the loaded gun, but you leave a loaded gun in the closet for 100 years, not going to go off. You know, something has to pull the trigger. So I thought that was a great analogy.
Yeah.
That even in those cases, when you absolutely have a gene that we could tie to cancer, doesn't mean you're going to get it. You have to activate that gene, and that's a lifestyle, nutrition, stress, all of those things we talk about. So we have been on the wrong track on cancer for a very, very long time, and it's no wonder. We spent decades and all that money, and yet cancer gets worse and worse every year. We were absolutely approaching it the wrong way. So hopefully we'll start turning that around now. I've got to get to a break. We're going to come right back. We're going to get to your calls and questions right after this. Stick around. I'm Kevin Rothenberg. Welcome back. I'm Kevin Rutherford. This is Destination Health. Kim's here with me. We're going to get right to your phone calls. Let's start off in Texas. Wade, welcome to the program.
Hi, Kevin. Hi, Kim.
Hi there.
Had a question. You were talking about the Instant Pot. What all can you do with that? Can you make bone broth in the truck with that?
I think you could use it to change your tire. That thing does almost anything.
It's like the Swiss Army knife. Is it a pressure cooker, a slow cooker?
Yeah, a pressure cooker, a slow cooker, a rice cooker. It sautés, it sears, it does all kinds of stuff. If I were only going to have one thing to cook with, that would be it. And in the truck, you just can't beat it. You could either do bone broth as a slow cooker, which takes 24 to 36 hours, or you could do it as a pressure cooker, which takes 3.
Yeah, I like the 3.
Yeah, me too.
So now on the,
and honestly,
on the lid, I'm sorry.
Well, I was going to say, I've done a lot of bone broth both ways. I've done it in a pot simmering on the stove. I've done it in slow cookers. And I've done it in pressure cookers, and not only is the pressure cooker a whole lot faster, it actually comes out better. I get a better broth out of the pressure cooker.
Does the lid seal? Because, you know, can you do it? Can it be cooking while you're going down the road, or will it slosh around and make a mess? Or some of these roads are not the smoothest.
Yeah, you could definitely do it going down the road. I would, if it were me, I would take like a plastic bin and I would put it in a plastic bin and I would probably even, you know, build some supports for it in there to keep it from moving a lot. It is sealed. Okay. When you're using it as a pressure cooker, it's completely sealed. So it blows steam out the vent. So you wouldn't want to put it in a really tightly enclosed place. You know, with the truck, you'd want to run with the window cracked, but it's not going to slosh all over because the lid is sealed. What you're trying to avoid is the whole thing tipping over or something going down the road. And if it does, you want it somewhat contained.
Right. Okay.
You know, with the 3 hours on the pressure cooker, you know, the way to do that would be on your off time. If you didn't want to screw around with it, doing it going down the road.
True. Yeah. Or you could do it, you set it up to cook while you're sleeping.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
So, okay. That's, I was wanting to see I knew you said that if you only had one thing to have in the truck, that would be it. And it's just called Instant Pot.
Yeah, Instant Pot. There's a ton of different, there's like a 5-in-1, a 6-in-1, a 7-in-1. One of them's Bluetooth. You can control it from your phone. There's a lot of different options, but they all do basically the same stuff.
Okay. That'll work.
All right.
Thank you.
Good luck with that. Yeah, you're welcome. It's a great device. I've got that. I've also got a Breville pressure cooker just because I love Breville appliances. But the Breville's pretty pricey. The Instant Pot works just as well. And I think they have one model that's less than $100, and their top of the line is just under $200, I think. Let's go to Florida. Alex, welcome to the program.
Hi, this is Alex. I have a comment about the specifically flu and the immune system in my personal experience. If you're going to make your own sauerkraut, raw and fermented, the sauerkraut has more vitamin C than oranges and a more good probiotic bacteria than anything else on the planet. You eat that, your immune system go through the roof and nothing can stick to you.
You know, I couldn't agree with you more, and it sounds like you grew up in Toledo, so I'll bet you grew up on a lot of good homemade sauerkraut, right?
Yeah, I grew up in Russia, and that's what they still doing it. You know, the sauerkraut, it's a daily meal. It's a raw sauerkraut. Everybody eat every day.
It's a wonderful thing. It really is. You know, here growing up, we always thought sauerkraut came in a plastic bag, you know, from the grocery store, and that's just stuff's just garbage. But the real stuff you make at home is pretty darn amazing, and it tastes great.
And also, I want to ask you about the prostate. Why after 40-year-old man has challenges with the prostate gland? And also, I see you have some supplements. Do you represent this company? And this is 100% organic and herbal ingredients?
So let's start with the, I'll do those in order. Why do we have problems with our prostate after 40? The same reason we tend to have more diabetes, more arthritis, more of everything is because we eat such a lousy diet our whole life that those things build up over time. Those things aren't natural just because we're getting older. They're happening because we've been eating a poor diet for so long. So the healthier you eat your whole life, the less likely you're going to have those problems. But the other thing we know, and I'm proof of this, I just said I was, you know, always sick as a kid because I ate such a lousy diet. I didn't really start eating really healthy till I was 50. And all kinds of things have improved for me, my prostate being one of them. So, you know, we don't have to have those problems, and we can reverse them with just good diet and lifestyle. The company that we sell supplements for, yes, we are a wholesaler for that company. And I can't guarantee that everything is organic, but it is all herbal. There are no drugs. These are all nutrients is what they are. They're concentrated and combined nutrients to target different systems in the body. But I don't believe that I've ever looked to see if they're all organic. My guess is they're probably not.
Okay. And then also, I've been reading some article about prostate. It's very interesting to look at. And they say the statistic shows the 9 men out of 10 in the Western world will experience prostate problems or challenges. And if you look at the Middle East, like Arab countries, they say it's almost like zero, not exist, or maybe 1 out of 10. And the conclusion is the philosophy go behind there, and because our human body is like a machine. If you're going to look at expose like a leg or you know, the breast of the lady, your machine is activated, like your eyes, your thoughts, your, you know, the chemicals start spraying inside your body like ready for the action. But it's nothing happening. And then we overwork or it's too much pornography maybe online. So, but actually nothing happened in physical action. And then if you go to Arab culture, they all cover up. And like when I travel to India, I never feel any kind of like a sexual agitation. When I go to Russia or America, it's like the propaganda is everywhere and your mind is going crazy all the time. And they say because of the ladies going in the street, too much exposed their organs and their, you know, body, they're killing our man. That's the conclusion. What do you think about that?
You know, that's an interesting theory. And one of the things we have to look at when we start comparing countries or cultures and health, and I do a lot of this research. You know, there are so many examples of this. If you look at how many of our kids in this country, the United States, are diagnosed with ADD and ADHD, it's through the roof. You go to France, it's almost unheard of. They don't even know what it is. And yet, you know, half the kids in any given class are on some sort of medication for ADD and ADHD. So there's a lot of factors. There's never just one thing. Some of the things you described certainly could play a role in this. I wouldn't doubt that. But I think our biggest issue in this country is our diet, number one, and number two, our high stress lifestyle. You know, we kind of created the whole high stress lifestyle thing. The French, are a whole lot more laid back than we are. They take a couple hours for lunch. They eat as a group. They relax. They eat real food, lots of fat. So the fat certainly isn't a bad thing. So there's lots of reasons, but I think the two primary reasons for almost every disease in the United States is diet and a high-stress lifestyle. The good news is we can fix all that. Stick around. We'll be right back with more stuff. I'm Kevin Rutherford. Welcome back. I'm Kevin Rutherford. We're down to the final segment. This is Destination Health. Kim is here with me. We're going to get right back to the phone calls. We are off to California. Al, welcome to the program.
Hey, happy to be part of your world.
All right. What's on your mind today?
I had a question about insurance companies, but how about let's lighten it up with a little joke. You ready? This wife was washing her husband's clothes, and she was emptying out the pockets, and then she sees a little note unfolds it and says, Mary Lou. So then the next day when they're having breakfast, she gets her frying pan and whacks him over the head, and he says, what the heck was that for? He says, I found this note here that says Mary Lou. And he says, don't worry about that, honey. That's just the horse I bet it on the other day when I was at the races. So, she reluctantly agreed. Then a week goes by, and then he sits down to have breakfast there, have his coffee, and then the next time she gets a big, big, heavy pan of wine and wax on the side of the head and goes unconscious and finally comes through. Well, what was that for? That was your horse that called here yesterday.
Funny. Al, you crack me up.
Yeah.
Anyways, so insurance companies pay for these strikes. I just listened to business health radio yesterday on Sirius, and this one doctor was talking about this new cholesterol medication. It costs $12,000, but he works for this company that he's able to negotiate and bring it down to about $8,000 to $9,000. Oh joy! So the insurance companies pay for this, and why would they pay for it with the cholesterol, you know, BS that now that it's all out about high fat, low carb, and then continue to pay? Or are they turning around, putting out their hand to the government and says, hey, we paid for this. We paid $12,000 and we need the money like a subsidy. Are they getting subsidies from the government?
You know, I don't know. And I won't comment on anything I haven't researched heavily and know for sure. I hear that kind of stuff. I do know there's a ton of collusion. This can be proven, and I have researched this. There's a ton of collusion between big pharmaceutical companies and the FDA that regulates them. In fact, drug testing became so expensive to get a drug approved through the FDA cost at least $100 million. And it became so expensive that the FDA put the whole burden on the pharmaceutical companies themselves. That would be like saying, we're going to let all the trucking companies give all their drivers the CDL test because it's too expensive for the government to do it. And it's much worse in drugs because, you know, that's a really big issue. And like I said, the executives go back and forth from these being on the board of these big pharmaceutical companies to being part of the FDA and making the decisions. So there may not be subsidies, I don't know. But the pricing on drugs is absolutely insane. I'll give you an example from somebody I know. They had a drug that was roughly about $900 a month at Walmart. Found it in Canada for about $300 a month. And that is because the federal government in Canada does subsidize their drug companies. That's part of their whole healthcare plan up there. So it was $300 there. Found it in the United States through some sort of subscription drug plan for $43 a month.
Wow.
How do you explain that? That makes absolutely no sense at all.
Yeah. That's where, you know, I here's the thing. Last year, about a year and a half ago, because I'm off my medication. I was on 10 years, you know, I smoked weed before. I'm 56. And so I posted on my insurance companies. They provide a portal where I was able to download all my blood tests for the past 10 years. And then so I asked the question to the insurance company to where, how do they feel that now I'm getting better because I was putting the high fat. And I asked the question if they had any information on that. And so somebody did answer, because no, that we don't, but just whatever you're doing is working for you, just keep doing. And then you posted a while back where you talked about how I forget what organization, they were showing this breakfast of toast, orange juice, you know, I can't believe it's not butter, right? And how terrible that is. And according, I think it was the National Institute of Nutritionists and Dietitians or something like that. And so I linked it on and I sent it on there and I asked the question, look at this bogus. And I looked up all the glycemic indexes and shared it right there. So, man, you know, how can anybody get healthy when you guys, you guys recommend something like this? And why aren't you promoting a healthy lifestyle? And from there, I never got an answer back. I guess I really hit a sore spot or something, putting all that information.
Yeah, you know, again, this is just, you know, what we talk about all the time. There is so much money entrenched in our conventional medical system that I just don't think we'll ever turn it around, Kim. But it is really, really encouraging to see the big push into functional medicine now, mm-hmm. and how many traditional mm-hmm. doctors are doing it. Chris Kresser, we talk about all the time. I am more and more impressed with him every week. He is really leading the charge. His new book, did you get your copy yet?
I have not yet. Mm-mm.
Okay. I think Lisa sent it. I haven't finished reading it, but I kind of skimmed through it. Just, I wanted to get a overall picture of what he's doing. And I love what he's doing. He is training people in functional medicine. And he's training everything from full MDs all the way down to health coaches, nutritionists, chiropractors. He believes that there is no one person that should be managing health, that if you really, you know, need to get healthy, that it would be a team. And I couldn't agree more. A functional mm-hmm. medicine doctor leading the team, because they have far more training in how the body works. Now, some of their training is certainly biased, but they've got that really solid foundation of all that medical training. If they expand beyond that into nutrition and functional medicine, or some of the other specialties, chiropractic or acupuncture, any of those things, they now, I believe, are more qualified than anybody. But even then, he says, you still need a team. Because the doctor doesn't have mm-hmm. time to work on nutrition and your diet and your lifestyle. He's going to help you manage disease and getting better. So he believes in this whole team approach and wants to encourage people that even if you, I kind of fit this, if you would have asked me, you know, one profession that I never would have considered, it was being a doctor or any healthcare. Mm-hmm. I would have never considered that. And now I love what I do. It's something I didn't even know existed or, you know, never even thought about. And that's really what he's encouraging people to do. I would love to take his full functional medicine course, but it's like $10,000 and it's a big commitment. but it's on my bucket list. I mean, I would really like to do it. And I love what he's leading, that this whole charge of changing the system and making it more about health, not about disease.
Yeah, I love that. I think it's, you know, doctors have to be, you know everything, an expert in everything, you know, have a team like that. Oh my gosh, I would love to be a part of that. Even if I have to go to one, could you imagine if you have to go to one? I mean, that's ideal.
Yeah. And you know, I do spend a lot of time criticizing our medical system. And I know it sounds like I'm criticizing the doctors as well, but I've said, you know, they are well-meaning. They had good intentions. They still have good intentions. They're just stuck in a really horrible system. And most doctors mm-hmm. know that today. Most doctors will admit that, but that's their training. And, you know, they come out of medical school so far in debt that they have to work in the system to pay off all the debt. They mm-hmm. their time has been crunched so hard by the insurance companies who pay them that they don't have time to research. They don't have time to expand out into other specialties. That I understand why they are the way they are. The system sucks. So that's why I'm so excited about this new breed of doctors that is saying, look, we've known this is wrong. We need a way to fix it. And I think that Chris Kresser is just doing an amazing job of building that framework.
Yeah, yeah. Hey, and Lisa sent me a note. She's so funny. So my package was delivered. So I'll have to, after the show, I have to go find it and dive into that. So maybe next show we can talk about that some more.
Yeah, that's right. So your book is there then. You have some reading to look
for. Yeah, I'm excited.
Good. Good. All right. Well, there's the final bell. Any parting words?
No, I just appreciate everybody being here. You know, I just think as a community, we are just, it's amazing. So keep with us. Ask us any questions to support@letstruck.com and let us know what you need.
Fantastic. Thanks, Kim. Thanks, everybody, for calling.
Thank you.
We've got to wrap this up. We'll see you next time. Be safe. Be profitable, be fit and healthy. Always do the hard work and master the journey. I'm Kevin Rutherford. All right, everybody, we're going to do a second hour. I'll give you a quick heads up. I'll be flying solo. Kim has to run. So I'm going to just jump right into questions. And we've got quite a few on the line, but I've got room for more. So if you want to jump in right now, press 1 on your phone, and I'll get to as many as I can in this next hour. Here we go.
Money, your taxes, your truck, and your road to success in the trucking industry. This is Trucking Business and Beyond, the show that puts the money where it belongs, back in your pocket.
Welcome to my world. I'm your host, Kevin Rutherford. The website is letstruck.com. The show is all about the business of trucking. Today is Destination Health. Kim is off today, so I'll be flying solo. I'm going to get to your calls and questions. We can talk about everything health, food, nutrition, fitness, diet, lifestyle, exercise, stress, supplements, sleep, you name it. We'll talk about it. All you have to do is pick up the phone and ask the question. I'm going to get to those in just a couple minutes. I don't have a lot today. I do want to remind you about Let's Truck University. That is our new school of online courses. You can take them from anywhere. They are very in-depth. They include video, audio, some even have quizzes, worksheets, handouts, downloads that you can listen to while you're driving. Just lots and lots of information that, again, you can take advantage of being out on the road. We have some free courses. We have some paid courses. We are planning on building about 30 more, which could take me a while, but that's the long-term plan. We are building courses in business, finance, health, and maintenance are our four major groups. So we do have a really good health course to get you started. It's all about using the ketogenic diet for losing weight, reversing type 2 diabetes, lowering blood pressure, reversing all kinds of autoimmune conditions. If you have any autoimmune condition at all, you really should look at the ketogenic diet as a therapeutic diet. And the course gives you everything you need to know step by step. If you're a diabetic, I explain how you get started. If you have high blood pressure, I explain the exceptions there, tell you what food you can eat, what you can't eat, how to test, everything you need to know. And the courses are very, very inexpensive. So check that out. You can find those at letstruck.com. Look under the, just click on the university tab and it'll take you, you'll be able to see all the courses. And check back often because I added two new courses this month and I will continue. My goal is to add at least one a month. So keep checking back there. And if you listen to this show, I am going to give you, let me go get the details on this because I want to make sure I did it right. And I've been working on a lot of other courses. But if you want to do the keto course, if you are a listener to this show, the Keto Jumpstart course is normally $29. I am going to give you $10 off just for listening to this show. Use the coupon code HEALTHY at checkout. So when you're checking out, there'll be a block to put in a coupon code, H-E-A-L-T-H-Y, healthy, and you'll get $10 off the course. You can't beat this for $19, really. There is a ton of information in there. With that, let's get to some phone calls. Let's start off in Missouri. Adrian, welcome to the program.
Hey, Kevin, how are you doing today?
Good. What's on your mind?
I just had a comment on vaccinations you were talking about last show.
Yeah.
I agree with what you're saying when, you know, you need to get sick to be healthy. You know, we little kids nowadays don't play in the dirt and all that kind of stuff. When you do, you expose your immune system to all the different things that make you sick and build it up. But I guess my only real question is when it comes to like the vaccines, isn't some of the way that works like actually expose your body to that flu virus or whatever? And wouldn't it do the same thing as getting the flu?
Well, you're kind of on the right track. The vaccine is a dead form of the virus. And it's processed in a special way, but it's basically a dead or inactive form of the virus. So it won't, even though we're, you know, subjecting you to the virus, it can't replicate. So what happens is you get the virus in your body, not in a vaccine, just, you know, by being exposed to it. And because it's alive, it keeps replicating and duplicating. And then you get enough of that virus in your body that you get the symptoms, which is your body trying to fight it off. With a vaccine, it's dead. It can't replicate itself. So you're not going to get sick. A lot of people believe they can get sick from the vaccine. You really can't. But that's different than having the live. So it does expose your immune system to it. So your immune system is able to develop antibodies. But, you know, the analogy I use is if you lift weights, if you really stress a muscle over and over and over, that's what makes a muscle stronger and gives it more endurance. We all know that. They've tried for years to create these machines that electrically stimulate a muscle. It's an artificial stimulation. The muscle is contracting and doing the same thing, yet you're never going to become a bodybuilder or a power lifter if you don't do the real thing. And I could give so many more analogies like that. So your immune system is exposed to it and it can develop some antibodies, but you're really not making your immune system work and fight off that living virus. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does. It does.
Yeah, so, you know, we keep trying to fool Mother Nature. We keep thinking we can come up with things that work better than our body. We always fail. Our body is a really amazing thing.
I got another question, if you don't mind.
Sure, go ahead.
What do you think of, I know you're all about the paleo diet, and I've done a high-fat, you know, no carb, low carb diet before, but what do you think about like whole grains, like oatmeal and stuff like that? For me, it seems like it might be a little bit easier to do out on the truck. I'm not talking about, you know, sugar and all this. I'm talking
First off, let me just say it's not human food. It was never meant to be human food, and that's a problem. Our body didn't evolve eating that. We only started eating grains about 10,000 years ago. That's a blink of an eye in our evolution. So our body, maybe after several hundred thousand years of eating those grains, our body might adapt to it, but we're not adapted to eat that food. It wreaks havoc in your body. Now, I will say not all grains are as bad as some. Wheat is the absolute worst. And the type of wheat we grow in this country, the genetically modified, heavily hybridized, it is loaded with gluten, and gluten is just really bad for everybody. So wheat is the worst. Some of the other grains aren't quite so bad. They're all high in carbs, but if you can get past that, white rice, don't eat brown rice, like we've been told, because the proteins in the brown rice, the outer coating in the germ, the proteins in there are not good for us. Our body reacts poorly to those proteins. If you strip all of that away and you just have white rice, it's just starch. So it's high in carbs, but there's really nothing left in rice that's going to cause any problems. Oatmeal, pretty far down the list of problematic grains, but you want to make sure you're buying organic oatmeal. If not, it's probably got a lot of gluten in it because it gets processed in the same plants that process a lot of wheat products. But if it's organic oatmeal, then there are two things. It won't be genetically modified. It's not allowed to be. And it won't have gluten because it's got to be tested for that. So of the grains, I would say if you just absolutely have to eat some, white rice and oatmeal might be two of your best options. The other thing you should do, though, and this is the way we used to prepare grains, because even 1,000 years ago, we somehow knew this. If you soak and sprout grains, you will eliminate some, not all, but some of the problematic proteins and enzymes and some of the other things we don't want. So the traditional way of cooking oatmeal used to be to start soaking it the night before. Then you rinse it, then you cook it. And you can do the same thing with flour, you can do it with wheat, you can do it with virtually any grain. It's called soaking and sprouting. So if you're going to eat grains, you should at least study how to prepare them properly, and then they won't cause nearly as many problems. I find that once you get used to not eating grains, it's really easy. I have not had a grain other than white rice. I do cheat once in a while with white rice sushi or a couple Thai dishes. But other than white rice, I have not had a single grain in 3 years. No wheat, no rye, no oatmeal, no corn, none of that. And I've never felt better. It's very, very low in nutrition, too. There's virtually no nutrition in grains. That's why they have to enrich it all. Stick around. We'll be right back. I'm Kevin Rutherford. We'll be right back. welcome back. I'm Kevin Rutherford. This is Destination Health. I'm flying solo today. Kim's got the day off. We're going to head to New Mexico. Jim, welcome to the program.
Hi, Kevin. You know, I want to thank all the drivers out there for buying up all that grass-fed beef, because Wally World is now adding several more rows of that beef in their stores. And I'm seeing it quite consistent. It's great.
It's growing in popularity. And I don't want to discourage people from buying it, because I want people to seek out the best quality they can. One of the things I just have to warn people about, though, and I hate to complicate this issue, but I feel like I need to, the term grass-fed, there are no regulations on that term whatsoever. Anybody could put it on any cut of beef they wanted, because technically every cow is grass-fed at some point. So that term is kind of, you know, now being used as a big marketing term. So I'm very careful. I usually trace a brand back to find out, is it truly grass finished? And even grass finished isn't regulated. There is a group that is trying to, they are certifying it. It's not a national thing yet, but it's growing. So grass finished means it has lived on grass its whole life, because a lot of cattle are raised on grass until they're sent to the feedlot to fatten up. And all it takes is 30 days on grain to wipe out that good fatty acid profile that they developed when they were on grass. So I encourage people to look for those kind of things where they can find them, but just be careful of some labels.
Well, not only did they add more to it, they also added another label that said organic grass-fed. Now, what's the difference between the two?
Well, that's another step in the right direction. It doesn't mean that it's grass-finished, but it does mean that when it was on grass for however long, could have been a month, could have been 6 months, you just never know. When it was on grass, the grass had to be organic, because the organic label is somewhat regulated. It's not perfect, but there are some rules. It doesn't mean people aren't breaking them, but you've got a better chance. It means that when they were on grass, it had to be organic grass, you know, no pesticides, all those rules. And when it went to the feedlot, which I can almost guarantee it did, if it doesn't say grass finished, it probably went to a feedlot at some point. The feed that it was given had to be organic as well. So we're at least getting away from genetically modified, because you can't use the label organic if anything's been genetically modified. And we're getting away from a lot of the really bad factory farming techniques. So again, there's, you know,
that label a little bit.
Yeah. And you can do some research and find out, you know, what their practices are. It doesn't take much digging anymore. So there isn't, you know, one right answer, one wrong answer. I mean, if I want the absolute best beef I can find, I don't even really care whether it's got an organic or a grass-fed label. If I can visit the farm and know that it's on grass, they may not have an organic certification, because that's really expensive to get, but I can go visit there, see their practices. Being local and raised that way, that's really your best option. But we know how difficult that is too. Although my new solution, I'm pretty darn excited about, and we were talking about pressure cookers a little earlier, or it might have been the other show. Pressure canning is my new hobby, and this would work out really, really well for drivers who want to put in a little bit of work. So when you're home and you can find a good local source of your meat, whether it's chicken, beef, or pork, or wild game, or whatever it is, you can pressure can that at home. And once it's pressure canned in mason jars with lids, it no longer needs refrigeration. It's got a shelf life now of years with no refrigeration. And it tastes, it's really amazing how good pressure canned meat really is. So there's a solution. I mean, you could spend a weekend and probably can enough beef to last you several months, beef, chicken, or pork. And that way you can control the quality of it.
All right. But you know, the pressure cooker that you were talking about, I got the Aroma, and I bought that from Wally World, and it's just under $70 for the small one, which is great for two people if you're teaming. Then
yeah.
I got the larger one that I bought for home, and that's just under $90. And this thing, when, once you finish cooking, it will keep it warm for you, too, till you turn it off. But the thing about the it uses less electricity than my coffee maker. You can't even compare it to the microwave.
Right.
And you want to make sure it's stable if you're going to be driving down the road. But it takes such little time for it to cook that, you know, why go to that trouble? And
you know, I and that
kind of takes the taste out of chicken. Go ahead.
I was just going to say, you know, $70, how do you beat that? Because you're right. It doesn't use a lot of electricity.
Oh.
It's a great way to cook. It's they're just awesome to have in the truck.
Well, it takes a kind of takes a taste out of chicken. I'm not really happy with that. But pork is real good, and I'm a beef guy anyway, and beef is awesome. And I went in there just to test this, and I bought the cheapest steak there is, which means it's going to be the toughest steak if you cook it any other way. You're going to need a jackhammer to tenderize it and throw all kinds of chemicals on it to try and get it loose. But I put that cheap steak in there and cut it up in about 2-inch squares, and I could cut it easily with a plastic fork. It was that
wow.
tender and that juicy,
yeah.
just awesome.
You know, that is exactly what happens when you pressure can it. You can buy the really, really cheap, tough cuts of beef, cut them up into cubes. When you pressure can them, they literally fall apart. And they're so tender.
Yeah,
and those cuts usually have really good beef flavor. And literally, you just open up the jar and eat it. Sometimes I don't even have to heat it up. It's just so easy. And, you know, that's really been a big challenge. I know it's hard finding really good quality meat on the road, and having enough refrigerator or freezer space in the truck is virtually impossible. Pressure canning. So I'm going to do a course. I'm going to do one of my online courses. In fact, that may be my next health course, a complete how-to series on sourcing the really good quality meat, pressure canning it, keeping it in the truck. Between pressure canning of meat and fermented vegetables, there is no reason whatsoever you shouldn't be eating really, really healthy on the road. And at first it looks like it's a lot of work, but when you see the course, you'll see it's really not that hard at all. Let's get to some more phone calls. We're going to go to Indiana. Richard, welcome to the program.
Good evening, Kevin.
What's on your mind today?
Hey there, Kevin. Can you hear me?
Yep, go ahead.
Okay, I want to talk about is I ask you questions about fish. I heard you talk all the time about seafood, saltwater, and I was wondering about freshwater fish. Is that just as good?
No. I'm not going to say it's bad, but it's not nearly as nutrient dense. And that's really what we're looking for. I'm seeking out the most nutrient dense foods I can find. That's what keeps us really healthy. That's why we talk about grass-fed and grass-finished beef. That's why I talk about eating the organ meats, the liver, the heart, the tongue, the kidneys, the bone broth, the way we used to eat traditionally. We used to get a lot of nutrition. Now we eat factory farmed beef that has been raised in horrible conditions, and all we really eat is the muscle meat. If you look at traditional societies, when they killed an animal, they ate all the organs, they gave the muscle meat to the dogs. The stuff we think, we'll pay a fortune for, it doesn't have nearly as much nutrition. So when I look at seafood, I look for the most nutrient-dense seafood I can find. Probably at the top of the charts are sardines. One, because you're eating the whole animal. mussels, clams, oysters. You're eating the whole animal. The more parts of an animal we eat, the more nutrition we get. If you look at fish like wild-caught Pacific salmon, not the factory-farmed Atlantic salmon that we tend to get in restaurants, but true Pacific salmon that was wild-caught, the nutrient levels are off the charts compared to the stuff we normally eat. I know I haven't gotten to your question yet about freshwater fish, but I'll get to that right after this. Stick around. I'm Kevin Rosenberg. Welcome back. I'm Kevin Rutherford. This is Destination Health. I'm going to get right back to the calls. I was talking with Richard in Indiana. So, Richard, if you're getting freshwater fish at the grocery store, you're more than likely nowadays getting factory farmed fish. The catfish is factory farmed. The tilapia is factory farmed. Unless it says wild caught. If it truly says wild caught, that's a step up. But even the species, they're clearly good for you, and I would eat them. But freshwater fish isn't nearly as nutrient dense as the other types of seafood we talk about a lot. And again, that doesn't mean you shouldn't eat it. It can be a good part of a healthy diet. I would avoid factory farmed fish like the plague. I will not touch that stuff. It's why I don't eat out seafood as much as I used to, because there's so much fraud going on. I actually know somebody in that industry that works in the supply chain for seafood, and they will tell you eat out in a restaurant about 7 times out of 10, you're not even getting the type of fish you ordered. You order grouper, you could be getting something totally different. So there's a lot of fraud in the seafood industry. So I tend to buy my seafood from very trusted sources. Luckily for me, I'm looking out the window at the largest salmon run in the world on a single river, the Columbia. And we pull fresh salmon out of here, wild Pacific salmon, every day. So, but yeah, I'm not going to say you shouldn't eat, but be very careful of the source.
Oh, well, what I was really thinking about was not store-bought. Where I live at, I have access to countless places to fish, and I'm talking about wild, fresh-caught fish.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, and that's fantastic. Again, not as nutrient-dense as some of the fish we talk about, but I would absolutely encourage you to go catch and eat your own food.
What about freshwater salmon there in the Great Lakes? We have pretty much the same species you have in the Columbia. But they're freshwater.
Well, the interesting thing about salmon is they are all freshwater, but they can also live in saltwater. So the typical life cycle of salmon is they're born in freshwater here in the rivers, right where I live. They swim out to the ocean. They live 4 to 5 years on average out in the ocean. They come back to the exact spot they were born. We have no idea how they do it. They come back to the exact spot they were born, they spawn, and they die. So they're technically both fresh and saltwater fish. The
Right.
I should do a little research on this, and I should have known. I grew up by the Great Lakes, but I wasn't into, you know, salmon back then. Is that the same? I would think that the fish in the Great Lakes are Atlantic salmon, not Pacific.
I'm not sure neither which ocean they come from,
but either way,
came from the ocean, and now their whole cycle is in the freshwater.
Either way, even if they're Atlantic,
but
let me finish up on this because this is an important point. If they're wild caught, then I would say absolutely. Like once in a while, I will get wild caught Scottish salmon. And that is the Atlantic variety. It's not the Pacific. The reason I say to be very, very careful with Atlantic salmon is about 95% of it is farm raised. But if you know you're actually getting it from a source where it was truly wild Atlantic, or you caught it yourself, then you're fine. Then the species doesn't matter. The reason I get people to focus on Pacific salmon is that species is never farm raised, ever. So if you get Pacific salmon, you absolutely know you're getting wild salmon.
Okay, what I'd be getting would be fresh caught off my own hook and line.
That's perfect. Doesn't get any better than that.
Quick question. Yeah. Other quick question is wild game. As a substitute for grass fed beef, I have access to deer, elk, and just about any wild game where I live at.
That it doesn't get any better than that. That is my absolute favorite. I would talk about it more, except so few people actually have access to it or will take the time to go do it. I love that in so many ways. One, the whole idea of being self-sufficient, killing your own food, I think is amazing anyway. Those animals have lived their life naturally the way they were supposed to. They have lived exactly the way nature designed them. They've been out running free. They've been eating the food that they evolved on. That to me is the ultimate in food. So I'm a big fan as well. And I eat wild game every chance I get. I would like to get back to hunting again. I used to do it a lot. I haven't for a while because I've been busy, but my business partner, Aaron, him and his boy went out hunting just last weekend, and his son got his first deer ever. And I'm going to share in some of theirs. And when I can get wild game, I will eat the liver. I will eat the heart. I will eat the tongue. I will use the bones for bone broth. To me, that's as good as food is going to get.
Oh, good, because that's where I live. I live in Michigan, and that's what I love to do. And so I can stock up my freezer with fish and wild game and feel good about eating it.
There you go. And if you are out on the road, you can pressure can it and take it with you. So you have your own awesome source of food. You caught it, you processed it, you canned it. It just doesn't get any better than that. You know, it didn't have antibiotics and hormones and all that other crap. Let's go to Ohio. Larry, welcome to the program.
Hey, Kevin, how are you today?
Doing great. What's on your mind?
Kevin, I think you probably remember me. I went through your one-on-one course, and then I ended up with appendicitis or abscess on my appendix. But anyway, I ended up having to see a urologist and was told that I have an enlarged prostate. And was wondering what you might recommend for that.
So how has your diet been? Are you eating really clean?
Yes, yes. I'm back to all grass-fed and eggs and beef and heart and tongue, whatever I can get my hands on.
Excellent. So you may, because that's always step number one. You know, we want people to eat that good, clean, high fat, low carb, you know, paleo or keto diet for at least 30 days before we start addressing any of these other issues. Because many times that's all it takes. And a lot of this other stuff goes away. If some of these symptoms hang around, or some of these conditions like an enlarged prostate, then we would look at, can we determine why it's happening? And sometimes we can, sometimes we can't. And sometimes we just, you know, look at some other possibilities. There are some supplements that will target the prostate. Saw palmetto is probably the most popular and actually works. Although I tell people all the time, if you're eating a lousy diet, forget the supplements. They're just not going to work. If you're eating a good, clean diet and we target the right supplement with the right quality and the right potency, we've got a pretty good shot. And prostate is usually one that responds to a well-formulated saw palmetto, and there are some other things you can throw in there as well. I know we have one at Biotics, a really good one, but I'm not sure if we stock it in the store or not. Go ahead.
I say at one time I seen you had something on in your store for prostate health, but I wasn't sure if you still had it. I haven't looked for it, I guess.
I'm going to go look real quick because I don't really manage what's going on in the store, so I'm not always sure what's there. I don't want to tell you we have it in stock if we don't, but I should be able to find it here pretty quick.
This doctor wanted to put me right onto a medication. He wrote a prescription. I told him I probably would not take it right away, and I didn't even pick it up. I wanted him to work with a naturopath, which I have an appointment with, and he wasn't too keen about that, and you know, but I just, I'm not one to take medications, so.
No, and I agree, and medications don't fix us. They just cover up symptoms. You know, if you're going to work with a naturopath, then I would off buying this supplement. We do have it in the store, by the way. It's called Palmetto Plus Forte, and it's a lot of palmetto and a lot of other really good nutrients. But again, if you have an appointment with a naturopath, I would wait because they've probably got some really good solutions too. So get through your appointment. If for some reason you're not happy with something, call me back. We could work on it, but I would hold off on buying this right now. I'm going to get to a break. We'll be right back. Stick around. I'm Kevin Rutherford. Welcome back. I'm Kevin Rutherford. This is Destination Health. We're down to the final segment. I'm going to get right back to some phone calls. Let's head off to Texas. Wade, welcome to the program.
Hi, Kevin. I asked you a couple weeks ago, and I talked to you about the bone broth, and I wanted to talk to you a little bit more about for sleep. And you mentioned some bone broth and a little bit of honey and some brain octane. And what kind of amount would you start at to try that remedy to maybe help for better sleep?
You know, on the brain octane, I would go pretty easy at night because the brain octane is actually what our body converts to ketones and energy pretty quickly. So we don't want to overdo the whole energy thing overnight, but there's a lot of evidence to show that a little bit of it really kind of powers our mitochondria all night and clears out the brain and does all kinds of good stuff. I would say at night, I would not do more than a teaspoon. Like, you know, in my bulletproof coffee in the morning, I do 2 tablespoons. But on a nightly drink for sleep, I would only do about a teaspoon. And depending on taste, you could do up to a tablespoon of the honey. You're probably not going to want a tablespoon because I think it would make bone broth taste too sweet. But that's more of a personal preference thing. The, you know, up to a tablespoon of honey is really good for kind of leveling blood sugar throughout the night. But if you only ended up with a teaspoon of honey, that'd be fine too. That's more of a personal taste thing.
I probably wouldn't mix it all together. I would probably, I mean, I could put the brain octane in with the bone broth. It wouldn't be a big deal, but I would probably just do a tablespoon of honey and then drink the other. But I do the bulletproof coffee and I do two a day in the morning, which gives me 4 tablespoons of the brain octane. And that's why I was curious how much you would do for the evening.
Yeah, so I would watch one thing, and I've read a lot about this, and I've read reviews from a lot of people that this works really, really well for. I'm one of them that it doesn't work so well for. What I'm talking about is the brain octane at night. There are certain things I do at night that really help me sleep. A little bit of monkey brittle, you know, it's got a nice balance of protein, fat, and carbohydrates. Or I'll do maybe a half of an apple and the macadamia nut butters that we carry. Those work really well for me at night. I tried the brain octane because, again, it works for a lot of people. For me, I fall asleep really well, but I wake up after about 3 hours and I am wide awake and loaded with energy. And that's not what I want after 3 hours of sleep. So I tried it. Yeah. I went on it. I went off of it. I thought it was a fluke. It's consistent with me. If I do brain octane before I go to bed, they even, Bulletproof even makes a supplement, a capsule, that is a tiny little bit of melatonin and a little bit of brain octane, and there might be a couple other things in there. It does the exact same thing to me. I fall asleep really well. I sleep deep for about 2 or 3 hours, and then I wake up and I'm loaded with energy. So it just doesn't work for me. But I've recommended it to other people and they love it.
Okay. Have you come up with any of the nutrient dense recipes to add to the keto course yet?
I have a ton of them. I just haven't got them. You know, I haven't got them down into a format. I haven't got the pictures taken, all the grunt work that has to get done. I could use a staff of about 3 people just to follow me around and do that kind of work. But we're a pretty lean company. So I really want to get to that because I love the recipes I've developed. We got to get all that other work done and get them up. So it's on the list.
Okay. And did you ever decide, last week you mentioned that you were going to talk about a new product that had for energy and B12, and there was another product the Bulletproof side. What was?
Yeah. I'll tell you what it is, and you won't be able to buy it in our store because I went and checked with Bulletproof. Some of their products, they just won't sell wholesale. The cost of developing and manufacturing the product is too high and there's not enough margin in it. So this is one of them. We can't buy this wholesale, so I can't put it in our store, but you can go directly to Bulletproof and get it. It's called Keto Prime.
Okay.
And The one I've been taking it for probably 2 years, but I take it for a very different reason, and I learned something recently about it. That's why I wanted to talk about it. So it's basically a really high dose of B12, like 16,000% of the daily, and there's no danger to that. there's some other really important trace nutrients in there. And it was designed for like mental clarity. You know, when you're on the keto diet and you're producing ketones, this really helps with energy and mental clarity. And that's why I was taking it. It's a little on the expensive side. And I was only taking it on a day where I really had a lot of kind of mental work to do. If I had a lot of writing to do, or if I had a lot of meetings, or, you know, I was given a seminar, I would take it then. But I read some pretty interesting research where keeping your B12 levels high, which is really virtually impossible to do with your diet alone, really helps with sleep. So I started taking it every day, and my sleep scores did improve. And there's a lot of research backing this up. So that's why I probably would have never mentioned it, because on the days when I go drive all day, I wouldn't take it. I wouldn't before till I knew this. So it wasn't one of those supplements right. I was really going to recommend to anybody. But now that I found out what it does for sleep, I'm a bigger fan. I wish we could put it in our store, but you'd have to go right to Bulletproof and get it.
Right. Okay. Awesome.
All right. Good stuff. This is just a little request from me. I have no problem sending you to Bulletproof to get that supplement, because we can't carry it. If I could, we would carry it at the same price they do, but I just can't. I'd love it if you came back to our store to buy the Brain Octane, the hot chocolate, all the other Bulletproof items we carry. And again, we're the same price. It really helps support us and what we do here. So that allows us to continue doing the free shows, the free podcast, the apps, all the other stuff that we develop that we don't charge for. So I know it's more convenient if you can order everything from one place, but I'll let you know about those things. I'd love it if you'd support us and shop at our store. Let's go to California. Al, welcome to the program.
Hey, thanks for taking my call again. And I'll support you. So after I am done with you, send me back so I can order some of that stuff there. I like ordering stuff from your website.
Thank you.
Ceviche, are you familiar with Mexican fish ceviche?
Ceviche might be one of my top three favorite foods of all time. I make really, really
okay.
good ceviche. I am famous around here for my ceviche.
Oh, okay, right. Yeah, and I was just wondering about if the lemon doesn't take away any nutrients, does it, for the fish?
No, lemon or lime. Ceviche, for people who don't know, and by the way, it's really Peruvian.
Oh, really? That's where you came from?
Yeah. Ceviche is Peruvian. When you go to Peru or you go to a restaurant that does Peruvian food, you will find 27 different varieties of ceviche. They make it all kinds of different ways. I do a pretty traditional, probably what you're thinking of, more of a traditional Mexican style. I do mine with lime juice and cilantro and red onion and jalapeno and But basically, ceviche is, and I know you know this, but for the other people, you take raw seafood, whether it's fish or shrimp or scallops or lobster, you could do almost anything. You kind of dice it up into smaller pieces. It's raw and it never gets cooked, but it basically gets cooked in an acid. So you can use lime juice, lemon juice, grapefruit juice, a combination of citrus, and that acid actually cooks the fish. So it looks like it's been cooked. The texture is just like it's been cooked, but it's very fresh. Not only does the acid not hurt any of the nutrients, it preserves most of them and adds a lot of vitamin C. And raw food is really good for us. So there was no heat. We don't lose the enzymes. It's the other, I love the taste of it. But it's also a very, very nutritious way to eat fish. All right, everybody, I'm all out of time. Thanks for joining me. We'll see you next time. Be safe, be profitable, be fit and healthy. Always do the hard work and master the journey. I'm Kevin Rutherford. All right, everybody. Thanks for joining me today. We'll see you this weekend for the live show. No, buddy, I'm coming.
Just say marketing meeting.